702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
I love how my interview starts with you just shaking your head
I'm
at me.
Speechless. Which, in my field of entertainment, that's a very bad thing. It means I'm going to make no money. I am speechless. I arrived here having my perception of you being this wonderful, well-rounded human being who only has good intentions. Yeah.
So, let me introduce
off-air
you.
People. Off-air was just, one could say it was wickedly delicious.
Wickedly
yes.
Delicious. Mark, I am so firstly excited that you came through. I know you're not usually in Gauteng. It's not necessarily like your favorite place in the world.
Wow. I don't know where you got that from.
No, I'm about to tell you why.
Yeah.
Because
tell me why.
I feel like your fro don't fro the same in Gauteng as in Cape Town.
Can I tell you?
Yes.
Now, my partner always says to me, he's so excited when he knows that we are coming here because my hair works really well.
Really?
Yes, in Joburg.
Really?
My hair works. It goes all rock star. It doesn't need as much fiddling. And I think the hair just feels stuff like, you know, lack of water, potholes, like the traffic lights not working. The madness of it all is my hair. If you needed a visual for what's going on in Joburg, it's my hair.
I absolutely love it.
So it just responds. It responds to that. So, and I come here, well, most of the time when I do come here, obviously we come to fetch money here. This is the land of money.
What's his name again? John Steenhuisen.
Yes.
He said that everybody's moving to Cape Town because they're running it well. So.
Look, you trying to trap me now because one never knows where your next sponsorship's coming from.
You don't want to cut your DA sponsorship.
You can give me yellow, you can give me red, you can give me blue, you can give me green.
So I have just admired and loved your work, and I'm so glad that before we went on air, I remembered where we first met.
Yeah, and your memory is so good.
It was like 2010, 2009, when I was still a full-time theater girly. And you were the friend of Jill Middlekoop.
Correct.
And you came to support where we were
performing. I'm still Jill's friend, yes.
And you came through to watch our show that we were performing called Imbumba Psalm Sane, that we had a live band. And
did I say typical things that artists say to each other after a show where they go, that was, oh my word, I mean, I'm going to remember tonight for a long time.
This is what you said.
What did I say?
Yalla, I have never, I mean,
exactly.
Nearman. Exactly. That's what you said. Nearman.
I've got a friend, a close friend, and I'm obviously not allowed to mention the name because of the story that I'm about to tell.
Oh, no.
And the person's also in the industry. And he says, so we obviously get these invitations every time a friend of yours is opening a show.
Yes, you go.
Then they say, please come to my opening. And him and I, we hate going to openings. Firstly, because obviously you're getting a complimentary ticket. Now, when you get a complimentary ticket, you have to enjoy the show.
Yes.
And people see and wait for you afterwards.
And the show's not settled. It's also not settled yet.
Or sometimes it's just bad. You don't even, it's just never going to be settled. Some people do bad shows. So, and then they start adding like profound language. They talk about the genre. And I'm just, while they're talking, I'm just going, no, honey, no, it's just bad.
No, but I know. I remember the face you made, right? You looked at me and you said,
see.
How do I describe? You went.
How do I describe what I've just seen? I mean,
you go,
surely words fail me.
Yes, no words.
Words fail me. No, but so my friend who doesn't like to go to openings, he keeps saying, so when we go and then people wait afterwards, you got to go into the foyer.
Yes.
And you got to hug people who you don't like. And then you wave at other producers who can possibly get you work. And
yes.
You say, you're looking great. And then, of course, you got to go up to your friends who were performing. And then it was terrible. And you go. And then his words to these people are always, wow, you know, I'm going to be talking about tonight. For such a long time.
I've got
Thank
a line you for you. I've
this.
Got a new line for you. You must just say, you guys worked so hard. That's what you must say. You worked so, hard. I can just.
Which is why I don't like going into the foyer. Do you know, I often meet people, and this still baffled me this morning. It happened again, but this was on social media. But people say, they look at me and they go, oh, wow. And this is going to be in a supermarket. They go, we were at your show on Wednesday. And then they carry on and they go and fish. They go and look for the Andy. And they go and I'm standing
they don't even
there
say,
going,
I love
you could have, we need not have started that conversation that's going to send me into 3 sessions of therapy. So I do a TV interview this morning. And a friend of mine, I'm not even ashamed to mention his name because he must be ashamed. Alfred Adrian messages me. And says, and I go, he says, how's it going? I said, no, just having a busy morning. And he says, yeah, I just watched your interview. Full stop. On WhatsApp. I just watched your interview. I'm holding my phone because I thought for 7 o'clock in the morning, I was doing okay. I wasn't at my best. I could tell because I wasn't being fed properly. But I'm looking and I'm waiting. And then his next thing was, so listen, about next week. I didn't even type back. I sent a voice note. I went, Tom, listen, we live in a world where we try to make other people feel good. If you are going to say to anyone, I watched your interview, you better tell Jesus to look the other way and lie and go, and you were amazing. What
I'm
energy.
I'm literally going to start doing that. I'm going to troll my son and say, I watched your performance, full stop. So what would you like for supper,
wow, dear? Is this the 3-year-old that we are all still praying about? Yes. People off air, we had a conversation about the 3-year-old. So to people who are listening, if you want to start a family, please just chat to my friend here first. Yes, it's beautiful for Instagram, social media. It's beautiful, but there's a whole other life after social media.
Okay, I felt like this is the longest Upside of Failure intro we have ever done.
Yes, that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Lottering is our guest. We're going to take a quick break just to pull ourselves towards.
Yes. And understand why we are here.
Gather ourselves. 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702.
702.
The Upside of Failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
19 minutes after 2 o'clock, the Upside of Failure. Today we are sitting with award-winning comedian and veteran of South African comedy, Mark Lottering, in the studio.
Wow.
We take your calls up. 011-883-0702
and
the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. You know, the one time when I was younger, I would see these signs that say no loitering. And I said to my older brother, what does loitering mean? He says, you know when... He says, it's usually when people see just black people standing around doing nothing. So I said, so they have to be black? He says, yes.
Put the sign up. No loitering. I mean...
So that's what I said. Is that Lloyd said yes? Loitering is when it's specifically black people
so
looking like
that
they
in
have
your
nothing
life this
to
did
do.
Not come up as an exam question.
Because I might have failed. But speaking of me failing exam questions, there is this belief, especially over the past decade and a bit, where we've become more woke, where people just believe that comedians are depressed people who share their life stories and give us permission to laugh at it. And the reason we're laughing is because we're so traumatized. We haven't dealt with our things. So yes. We're all kind of laughing at traumas. Is that something that you would say is kind of accurate for yourself?
Yeah, the two ways in which I look at that. You know, I received so many phone calls from people. For example, when Robin Williams committed suicide, and the whole conversation started again about, and now, you know, from friends,
Matthew Perry.
Mm. And then this conversation started again with people saying, check in on your friends, check in on the comedians, check, you know, and people were messaging me, how are you? Are you okay? And there is this thing that, you know, when you go and watch a show, now when I, especially just to come back to Joburg again, when I perform here in Joburg, I can tell you, even before, as I walk onto stage, the raucousness and the madness and the deliciousness from the audience is what every comedian wants when you walk out. Mm. But it's so interesting because I think the reason Joburgers scream so loudly when they see a comedian who they like, it's because they go through so much.
Literally.
They go through so
and
much.
And we don't have an ocean to at least go by and just...
So then there's the comedian, and the comedian is essentially a part of everybody in the audience. So you reflecting the stories of what everybody's going through, and obviously it is my task and every other comedian's task to come up with an amazing punchline to a story.
Yes.
You know, because that's what you do, and people just need to laugh. But every story, you know, by the time it's presented on stage, it can look amazing, but it does come from a place of, the tamest thing I can say is frustration in the least. So if I've got a character who's a cashier, for example, and she's insane, so she sits at a till and talks about every South African who comes through a till and what she's really thinking about this person, depending on what's in their trolley. So that's just a point of annoyance. And people are annoyed with cashiers, for example, if they're going to read your newspaper. You put your thing through the till. Why is your front of your newspaper so interesting to her? Like, she takes her time and then turns to her and tells me at the other till. And I'm like, oh, did you see what happened? So it comes from that kind of space. So I guess comedians spend a lot of time being annoyed. And in my case as well, you know, you go to what many people would call dark places to find, because something that you cannot stop thinking about, those are the stories I take to stage. If I cannot, now there are two things. You cannot stop thinking about something because it's just annoyed you to such an extent that you've got to talk about it, or it's made you laugh. And you are crying with laughter, and you go, I'm 2 days later, I'm still remembering this, I obviously have to take this to stage. But it comes from a very emotive space. So somebody then says to me at this festival that you commented about, off air, Kaka Inka.
Yes, Kaka Inka.
It's a strange acronym. And somebody said, you get it wrong.
I'm like, are we allowed to say this on air?
So then a person interviewed me at this festival, and she said to me, oh, she's read this book where this journalist said, comedy is horrible. It's great, but it's horrible if you analyze it, because it always comes from a horrible space.
Yeah.
But, you know, life is tricky, and life can be intense. And I think, you know, to go to those places, and I often go there, and you write about these things and you bring it out to stage. And for me, what I have to keep telling myself and what I'm capable of doing, thank God, is not stay in the dark place. Because a lot of people don't have that option. And thank goodness we are now living in a time when everybody's talking about it. Young people in particular are going, please, can we talk more about mental health? I'm not actually okay. You know, and the bit where we all smile and wave all the time, people are starting to interrogate that a whole lot more. So for me, I acknowledge that there's a lot of darkness in comedy in terms of where it comes from by the time we present it on stage. But I have the option as to whether I'm going to stay in that space. So then you get out into the foyer, or you get to the pub, wherever we go after shows. Micah is normally home to read the Bible. And you get into that space, and people either enjoy meeting you if they've watched you for 90 minutes, or they're a little bit let down, and for different reasons. So in my case, some people are really disappointed because the person who they see on stage, that's pretty much who you're going to meet at the bar afterwards. I don't have a whole lot of, I'm not that interesting. I don't have a whole lot of other personas. Then there are other comedians that people love to meet afterwards who are just in a corner, not the person that you saw
on stage. But this is what we were just talking about off air, right?
Yeah.
Is that when you are a performer of any sort, be it stand-up, comedian, acting, whatever it is, you are present in that moment doing that thing. But when real life happens, many of us have these weird quirks and are introverts and have social anxiety. So I can completely understand why that guy who was hilarious on stage is now kind of not even being open to greeting people, and his energy is not welcoming.
Yeah, I have friends like that. Now, fortunately, because I'm perfect, because I'm born in December, I'm a very balanced person, and all people who are listening who are born in December will testify to that. We're basically the saviors of our friendship circle because we make everything okay. Particularly, we have to rescue the Librans who always bring darkness into the
Thank
space.
Thank goodness you never mentioned us Virgos. Because we help the rest of your
staff. I'll tell you about what Virgos think about their children. So I believe that I believe that what I'm doing with my stand-up comedy, I believe it's a calling. And it runs in my, because my father was the pastor of a Pentecostal church, and people said, how could you drift so far from the church? See it as different things. But I see it as the same thing. It's about bringing goodness and spreading good news and making people feel good. And every morning when I wake up, I cannot think of anything else that I would want to do. And when I've got a show, even if I have anxiety about the show, I cannot wait to get onto stage. And my aim is, especially when I'm performing in South Africa, because I know what we all go through, is that when people leave after those 90 minutes, if they can message me, and many of them often do, so the messages vary from, I've never laughed until I cried that much, or I don't like comedy, but I looked at my partner, I've not seen him laugh.
So I hated you, but my partner looked so happy.
But they're just going, you know, but to see him laugh because he's been through such a thing.
Yeah.
That is what I like to do. So when you talk about going out into the foyer afterwards, I mean, I don't often do it. I do it a lot. But when people see you and they pack out laughing, isn't that a great thing? Just in terms of where the world is at now. Because you could get so many, you could elicit so many other responses from people by being the kind of person that you are. So I walk around and my niece often says to me, "Shoo, Uncle Mark, you know, you're looking," because I always try to look cool, you know, so I'll flick my collar up and, you know, get the shades. And then, you know, and sometimes I get it right. And she says, "You put so much effort into looking cool, but those people just pointed and laughed." And I said, no. I said, they see the coolness, but they're feeling the joy as well. So I'm there, and I believe that it's my part of my task in this life, and it makes me feel great, is to make other South Africans look in my direction and just their faces go into the biggest of smiles. Those are the fans, of course. They are the others, and I can actually hear them turn to their husbands and think, "I'm not my company." And I usually look at her and think, "Well, honey, with that blouse." So no, but sure, you're not everybody's cup of tea, but that's where I am as far as what goes on in my head and my mental health and what I would like to do for other people. But I do acknowledge that for comedy, I mean, for a lot of people, it does come from a space, a really dark space.
But I have to just say, there's something about your energy, and I'm trying to find the best way to describe it, and it's not the part where you walk into a room and people just expect to be laughing the whole day, because I think that pressure sits on comedians.
Sure.
But you really feel, to me, like you're a people's person. There are people you meet who are massive icons in their spaces, but you literally feel like one of the people. You are one of us. We literally, I feel like if I complain to you about something and you relate, I believe you. It's not like...
Yeah, you're taking it too far because I'm going to bill you for that. You can't just come up to me and complain to me about something and expect me...
No trauma dumping, please. Don't trauma dump on Mark. But I just mean that thing of like, if you were to frippin' run for public office, I would believe you because the things you say are true. So
you would believe me if I was to run for public office. If I told you that I have a terminal disease and I'm about to die and that's why I cannot be in jail, you will say, release that comedian and then I will run again.
Even if you said, listen, even if you said, I'm not going to do the best job, but I'm going to try my best. Like, because that's what we're missing, a certain level of authenticity.
Again.
Even if you said, listen, even if you said, I'm not going to do the best job, but I'm going to try my best. Like, because that's what we're missing, a certain level of authenticity and honesty.
Yes.
That's what I am missing, is somebody who can be like, you know, I'm not amazing, but I'm going to try for us, guys. I'm going to try.
We should run together, you and I, because we in the same WhatsApp group. We will be amazing together. We'll say, guys, I'm not perfect. You're going to hear a lot of stories. Because the haters will hate, right?
So let's go to Eyewitness News. It's just after 2:30. We continue with Mark Lottering. Time for your latest Eyewitness News headlines. We're in breaking news. Relebogile Maboja and Mark Lottering are going to be running for public office. Good afternoon.
702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
The upside of failure. Our guest for today is Mark Lottering. And we are chatting a million and one things as Mark is hiding his face in studio. We take your calls on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. Mark, have you ever worn a mask on stage? I mean, other than the one you're wearing for us here today.
What do you mean? What kind of mask? Like, I mean, we were all wearing masks.
We all wear masks. No. You know the masks we wear. So the masks are the one that's your public self, and then your private self, and then your secret self.
Okay. Well, I try to... There are certain events that you have to go to.
Mm.
Where you, and we've all been in this situation, mm-hmm. where you're at home and you go, you know, all I actually want to do now is stay home and just sit on that couch under my favorite blanket.
I hope you weren't thinking that before coming here.
No, this was on my vision board. This was on my vision board.
Perfect.
I'll send you a picture later. So, and I think when you feel that way, and there's a reason that you feel that way, is because maybe you've had a hectic day and you just think, you know, I have to go to this thing and I've got to be nice to people. And then we all kind of wear vision board. I'll send you a picture later. So, and I think when you feel that way, and there's a reason that you feel that way, is because maybe you've had a hectic day and you just think, you know, I have to go to this thing and I've got to be nice to people. And then we all kind of wear... We were at some dinner party. So we have to play these games to get along in life. But fortunately, you don't have to live with everybody who you sometimes have to engage with during the course of your day or your month.
This is true. And it is fortunate, except when you make the human being, you do have to live with them in your house. Conversation for another day offline for you.
Or maybe you just need to go to church and not actually talk to me about this all the time.
I love that.
I think, good session in church.
Was younger you in tune with the intentionality you really go with when you're being funny and sharing stories? Because I think the assumption often is that comedians were always the class clown and always making people laugh.
No, younger me was the opposite of who you're talking to today. The complete opposite. I mean, I early on already realized that I was gay, so there was that kind of game that you needed to play, and then I became really, really quiet.
Wait, so did you still date girls while you were still figuring that out?
Hey, Yes, I was. So I was engaged to be married. I was in a 6-year relationship. Yes, I was, and because you must remember, my father was a pastor. I was really is not. I mean, and it's a traumatic thing, as you can imagine. I'm not even speaking for myself.
For both parties, yeah.
For the other party having to go through this. So, yeah, fortunately for me, you know, at that stage of my life, I was still able to, because I always say, you know, if you are in the closet, you have to try and come out while you're still good looking, because gay people are harsh. You know, so if you come out, said everybody, hey, everybody, on my 68th birthday, everybody's like, hey, hi. What are we going to do with you now? So I was fortunate enough. I should talk about these things in my show. I was fortunate enough to she was gracious to see what was going on. And then we would never here in this interview be able to answer the questions of when you're saying, you always feel that the partner knew. Do you know that the people who are closest to you are always the last people to know?
But you know why?
And
I think
always
that
look at
is.
Them and I go, but your brother was playing a Celine Dion album in the car.
I think that's the case, though, is because there is something when people are really close to you, we are overly forgiving, and there are signs that because we've lived with them for so long, you think, but that's how they've always been. You don't imagine them to be flags or signs.
Yes.
So I've met people who I never assume, but I'll be like, I suspect, until they confirm. You're like, but you know what black people do.
Smelling good.
This is what black people.
Someone's hair is looking perfect today.
You know, as black people, they just say, "Oh,
that's
why." Like, but
exactly,
I feel like a lot of the times we're very intuitive. We know, but
yes.
the bottom line is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for me what you are, who you engage with sexually, unless I'm interested in that. It doesn't matter. But I think majority of the time, people knew and have loved you all along. The reason they were so shocked and in denial is probably because it was their biggest fear. We need to take a quick break.
Yes.
When we come back.
702.
The upside of failure.
Proof that a setback can lead to a step forward.
All right, we have been receiving your questions. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. There's a message from Meg Mark as we chat on this upside of failure with Mark Lottering. Lebogile, I just love Mark. You just cannot laugh when you hear him speak. I think you mean stop laughing. Sending him love from like something's holding a gremlin, holds her throat to make her not laugh. Sbu in Midrand says, what a breath of fresh air just listening to you guys made my afternoon. Thank you for bringing Mark Lottering. And then somebody says, when is Auntie Merle coming to Joburg?
Yeah, that was supposed to happen. We were meant to be, we were ready to come to Joburg. And then
the DA sponsorship fell through.
And then, wow, she is determined. She is determined. Get me to bash that blue. and then it didn't work out. Unfortunately, we were ready to come. The show was called off. But I believe that we will get here. We've made a wonderful film, which we can't wait to share with Joburg. Auntie Merle, the musical, has actually been filmed.
What?
We had two test screenings in Cape Town. And, you know, sometimes you watch something and then you realize and you look at yourself and you go, I now have to admit the creator was in a good mood when I was created. That's how I felt.
Friends, don't you love those moments?
No, I'm messing about. But it's a beautiful product. So the Auntie Merle fans in Joburg, one way or other, whether we are live on stage doing our latest musical, Auntie Merle, Things Get Real For You, which has just been phenomenal. We've done the film as well, and we can't wait to share that with you. So it shall happen soon. We're just sorry that it couldn't happen when it was meant to.
Everything is perfect timing, I believe. Dr. Philemon says, afternoon, Lebogile and Mark, thanks for this feature. It is so educational.
You've got doctors listening to you. You've got doctors listening to you. Did you see this for your life?
No, but this is the thing. This is the question.
Not that I'm saying like Megan's booze bad, no, but I mean, listen, we got doctors.
Here's the thing I say. When you say from doctor, is it your name? Are you academic or are you a medical doctor?
Okay,
so
see,
it could just be his name, doctor.
But no, but you must strive for big things in life. Just go. That's the biggest medical doctor in the country.
Dr. Philemon, our regular listener, we've got a voice note.
Hi, Rile Bukhile. This is Logan from Edenville here in Joburg. About 22 years ago, I was in a club in Cape Town called Sutra. And Mark Lottering and Krishni Naika were there, and they invited me into the little VIP zone that they were partying in, and I can't believe how much I was laughing that night. The way that we were talking about everybody and everything happening around us, it was one of the most entertaining nights ever.
How amazing is Krishni? The whole time Mark was freaking out that somebody's going to reveal something from your past
life. You can't just start a story like that.
22, and he lured me into the
VIP. Not with all the stories breaking now internationally with people who are invited into VIP areas.
Right?
So I'm glad that went well. So who was there? Krishni Naika?
Yes, that's what he said. 22 years ago.
Goodness me.
How does that make you feel, though, knowing and understanding the... I mean, beyond the fact that you make people laugh, right? You are memorable. Even though you said at school you were not memorable, you are so memorable.
Yeah, it makes me... I mean, I listened to that wonderful voice. No, thank you. I forgot his name.
Logan.
Because I was so scared as to what Logan was about to say. Logan, that message, that could have gone in any direction. I mean, I was ready to leave the studio. I got to the airport. So, when I hear stories like that, I just go, you know, because you never know what's going to be happening in your life and how things will turn out. And to go from a shy boy, because I was at a school in an area on the Cape Flats called Retreat 49, from a shy boy on the Cape Flats to one day being able to get somebody into a VIP area with Krishni Naika. Come on, people.
To now being interviewed by Rilev Khile, who gets listened to by doctors.
With doctors listening to all of this. So, Logan, thank you. You're reminding us. We will not take these moments for granted.
Before we celebrate your awesome award, right, you're going to be inducted into the SA Comics Choice Hall of Fame.
Ah, that
and
is
this
so well deserved.
30 years. I nearly said 30 decades.
You
it's
see,
about
now the spirit
time.
Of envy is coming in. Do you feel the spirit of envy? Because 30 decades. Oops. Sorry, Mark. I so meant years. It just
Are you proud of yourself?
I am proud of myself. I mean, I will share it with people tomorrow night, how I feel, you know, at the Lyric Theatre, and they can get their tickets through CompuTicket.
Buy a donkey.
So, and all the comedians will be in that space. So it's going to be a fabulous evening. It always is a rock and roll evening. But awards mean, the awards cannot define who we are. I cannot say that awards cannot define who we are.
Said every loser. Because,
no.
Okay,
no,
on a serious...
No, I won't say that. I will say that tomorrow. This is my first Comics Choice Award. So I've been a loser for how long has this been going on?
Three
for?
Decades.
So I plan to put them on their place tomorrow night and call them out, because it's the comedians who meant to vote for you, right?
But don't forget to thank you, the way Snoop Dogg thanked himself.
Wow.
Don't
yes.
forget to thank you, because you're the one who would stand up, take the risk every single time.
Absolutely.
But in closing, what would you like to share with all the 702 listeners that you've learned in your life about failure? Because to do the job that you do, it's multiple rejections, it's sponsorships not coming through, or shows
yeah,
not happening.
How fresh and recent is that?
Yeah, you know.
Surprise, surprise.
What have you
my
learned?
Bag was packed up in an email. Surprise, surprise. What do you mean you're not going to the airport?
What have you learned about failure?
That's about as surprised as Cyril's wife before the speech. So, what have I learned? You've got to... If you are not... Listen, we all make mistakes where we think that thing is for me. Now, if that thing is not for you, you will know soon enough. But when you know that what you've set your sights on is for you and in your heart is peace, and you so know this is it. I've gone through down a lot of roads to get to this road, but this is the road that I envision. When disappointments come, when you're on that journey, you've just got to keep pressing on. And, you know, I said this, I don't know if I've said it to your producer, or because the question was, you know, around this idea when the failures come and when things don't go your way. But you have to realize that your dream and your plan and your vision, it's your dream. It's your vision. You cannot expect that everybody must be dancing along to your tune because it's your plan. So yes, they're going to hurt your feelings. Some people, you're going to be so disappointed because you're going to go, but Chom, I thought you of all people had my back.
I am so heartbroken that our time, we are so late for the news.
Are we? And, okay.
And I love you, and I so appreciate all you do for us. Please keep doing what you do.
I'm so emotional right now because I know that it's early in the year, but you're not going to get another interview to top this one. So I feel for all these other guests who are coming on.
Where did it go to break?